right, we are back in session. We are on section three, number one. This is a time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Josh Finch, DVM, in case number 21-30. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given it in ARS 3222-34. Dr. Finch, we got Mr. Stoll here sitting before us. Could you please state your name for the record?
Dr. Josh Finch.
Thank you.
And David Stoll appearing as legal counsel to Dr. Finch.
Thank you. Dr. Finch, you've received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, and placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and there only one person speaks at a time. We'll begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you'll be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. James, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Case 2130. On August 14th, 2020, Jack, a 14-year-old male German Shepherd Corgi mix, was presented to the respondent for anorexia and lethargy. The dog was examined, blood work was performed, and the dog was discharged with instructions to feed a bland diet. On August 17th, 2020, respondent discussed his concerns for pancreatitis and recommended supportive care at that time. If the dog did not improve, an abdominal ultrasound would be recommended. On September 4th, 2020, due to the dog not improving, an abdominal ultrasound was performed. The dog was administered vitamin B and discharged with Serenium. The respondent did not discuss the results with the pet owners. On September 10th, 2020, the dog was presented to Dobson Ranch Animal Hospital and Grooming for a second opinion. The dog was not able to support himself. Blood work was performed and revealed anemia, azotemia, and hyperphosphatemia. Due to the dog's poor prognosis, the dog was humanely euthanized.
Dr. Finch, at this time I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Dr. Finch, we'd now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. Well, next week will be the 15th anniversary of my license being issued here in Arizona. And during those years, I've never had my license disciplined in any way. So therefore, this complaint has been a big wake-up call for me to be more diligent and detailed in my medical records. So in preparing for this informal interview, I noticed with regard to the proposed violation for not documenting my exam results for September 4th, 2020 visit, that the results of my exam were entered in my handwritten notes, which are part of my record, and you have copies of these that you can see that not all my notes were transcribed into the computer. In any event, my handwritten notes support that I reported that Jack was bright, alert, responsive on September 4th, and all physical exam findings were within normal limits. Again, these were my notes written during the actual exam. As for the ultrasound results, I recall talking to Dr. Lawmaster immediately following his ultrasound, and he had told me that pancreatitis appeared to be improving, but that there was some evidence of IBD. I was pleased to hear that, and I know that I conveyed these preliminary findings to the owners and also recommended that they change the food for the dog from the GI low fat that we were feeding to a hydrolyzed hypoallergenic version. I know that the owners received that information because the very next day they returned the low fat diet and were going to feed some chicken and rice and switch to the hydrolyzed. food that was recommended based on the preliminary ultrasound result. The dog food was returned, is noted in the medical entry for Saturday, September 5th. And finally, I respectfully disagree that I was grossly negligent in the case. Objection, renal disease was not overlooked and ignored. At the time I provided my care, my primary focus was on his pancreatitis, and I believe that its renal values were secondary to that condition. Ultimately, had I been allowed to continue treating Jar-Jar, that would have been additional diagnostics, including rechecked blood work, UAs, UPCs, and likely recommended hospitalization if he was not improving. I never had that opportunity since the owners took Jar-Jar to another facility. I guess that's all I really have to say, so I'm available to answer any questions that you all might have. Thanks.
Thank you. I'd now like to ask the board members if they have any questions for Dr. Finch.
Dr. James, I do have some questions that I'm hoping you can clarify for me. So it sounds like when this dog initially came in on the first exam, you did the blood work, and do you recall discussing that blood work with the owner as far as specifically what was relayed to them?
Yeah, and I talked to him about pancreatitis and had concerns, but we also had some other elevation being, you know, kidney values, but was concerned that those could be just secondary to the pancreatitis situation.
And do you feel like the owner understood that the kidneys were impacted?
Yes.
So when the dog wasn't improving, because it definitely sounds like it was, I think August 14th that the dog initially came in. On the 17th, there was a suspected pancreatitis based off of the lab results. And then it sounds like there were a couple communications with staff where the dog wasn't getting better. Did you at that point recommend any additional diagnostics?
Well, that's when I recommended that it would get him back in for an ultrasound.
So from the 17th, it looks like at least on the 17th is when you discussed the blood work with them, and on the 21st, it looks like they said that the dog wasn't getting better. On 9-1, the dog still wasn't getting better. Between the 17th and the September 4th date, when the ultrasound was actually done, did you recommend any additional diagnostics?
I hadn't been informed that he wasn't doing, that he was doing worse or not doing better.
So your staff did not communicate with you on 8/21 that there was a foul, that the dog wasn't doing well, and that they had said to continue the meds, and then on 9/1 that the owner called and that the dog was still not better?
I think that's when they picked up the GI diet to give that a try to see if that would help him do better at that point. And he continued not to, so he moved on to an ultrasound.
Okay. During those communications, did you, like when they came in for the diet and to exchange the diet and all that, did you have discussion with them at that point?
No, I didn't talk to them when they brought in the food.
More questions. So regarding the ultrasound results, I know in your statement you said that you remember talking to them about that. I don't see that in the medical records. Was that just not documented, but you did it, or?
That's where I was getting better at documenting all my conversations. I didn't put that into notes. We talked about it. That's why we gave the vitamin D injection, recommended the switch of diet, and then I'd follow up with him next week to see how he was doing with those.
Okay. Okay, and then for the medical records, I know you stated on 9/4, there was the handwritten, looks like BAR exam normal. But no assessment or plan or anything like that documented? Am I missing that, or is it somewhere else?
No, the plan was just, it was the ultrasound that we were doing, and then to go off of that. But yeah.
And then, do you recall having a discussion with the owners about the Valley Fever results?
No, specifically not.
Okay, I don't think I have any additional questions. Anybody else?
Any other board members have questions? Just all ask one, at what point would you consider a urinalysis as a diagnostic in this case? What, how far one way or the other would it have to go before that was something you looked at?
For me, it would have been if I was told, even at the beginning, that he was drinking a lot, peeing a lot, given the other concerns of things that I've really noticed on a urinalysis.
Any other board members have questions? All right, seeing none, we will now hear from the complainant. Would you please state your name for the record?
Yes, this is Portia Pena.
And you are the complainant in this case, that is correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, I'm going to swear you in now. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
We've read the materials you've provided, and you may address the board.
Okay.
Did you have anything you wanted to tell the board?
Oh, I'm sorry. Just in regards to the answers that were given.
Well, this is your opportunity to state whatever you need to state.
There was just a complete lack of communication. I mean, we only spoke on the phone. There were a couple of things that were a wee bit incorrect from when I first entered the information. One of the things was the original blood work that was sent over that was done initially did state on there that a urinalysis was recommended. I don't know if that was over or sent over as well. And that was never relayed to us. We were never told about the kidneys. It was just straight pancreas. And my husband recalled even remembering the last conversation that we spoke with him. This was immediately right after we had put Jack down, saying, like, why wasn't the kidneys? Why wasn't the kidneys brought up to us? And the only thing we were told was the pancreatitis was the issue. And that was it. And we weren't, it wasn't until we physically saw the blood work that we were seeing all this, and then going to Dobson Animal Clinic, giving them the blood work, and we didn't have the ultrasound result at that point. We were given recommendations on what to do in the meantime while we waited for them. But even Dobson Animal Ranch was having trouble because they were told, the receptionist was told that the results didn't come in. But we were told the results came in a few days before, and we were just waiting for somebody to call us with information. Because Jack was progressively getting worse and we felt we weren't getting the proper care and attention that he needed, I wanted a second opinion. So that's where the doctor pulled up the blood results, and she said she had a difficult time getting those to begin with as well. And that's when she was shocked by everything that was on there. And she said, this was never relayed to you. And I said, I was told about the pancreatitis, because I went in there thinking everything was going to be fine. I'm just going to be okay. they can attest to my demeanor that I was just in there for hoping for better news or some other option to take. Having that completely destroyed, saying that he's in renal failure, pretty much. But they wanted to do blood results, or another, do another blood test to review and see if anything has changed, because I had mentioned the antibiotics, I had mentioned pancreatitis and the ultrasound. So we did. We paid for more blood work to get done right then and there, just for them to tell us that it's just gotten worse.
I'm just waiting for you to finish.
Oh, I apologize. Yes, I do remember the doctor also asking if we had done a urine analysis because she didn't see any of the results in there. And I told her we hadn't did one yet. And the only thing she was saying was, I'm surprised.
Anything further?
No, everything else hasn't changed from my our previous complaint. It's just this really kind of just shook my faith in everything. Jack meant more. I mean, I know folks all the time always say, it's just a dog, but Jack was different. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't be alive today. He actually saved my life. And it has been hard ever since without him. And I felt that if there was better communication and every option was presented to us, we would have done everything just like we did at the other clinic, just in hopes that something would save him. Anything.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions for the complaint?
Dr. James, I just want to make sure it's clear as far as on the first visit when they did the blood work and called on the results of the blood work, you discussed pancreatitis, but nothing with the kidneys?
Nothing with the kidneys or valley fever.
Okay, and then during your follow-up calls, it looks like there were a couple of them with staff where you reported that Jack wasn't getting better. Was there any discussion of follow-up diagnostics?
Just the ultrasound, but we knew that when the blood work was given that was going to be the next option to go if the antibiotics weren't working. That was going to be the next major step we took. As far as communication with the staff, it was a combination of them calling me to check in to see how he was doing and me relaying again that he's not eating much. Like, sure, he's walking around, but he's still not eating much. And me calling because it just seemed to be at a decline and saying, he's not doing any better. What can we do? And we've got to wait for the ultrasound.
Okay. And then once the ultrasound was done, did you get those findings?
I didn't get the results, and the results weren't relayed to me until later. There was kind of a, this is what the doctor saw there. The pancreatitis was there, and that's what we needed to focus on. And because of that, that's when we needed to do the vitamin B injection and do another around the Serenia as well, just to help him eat, because he still wasn't eating. And it wasn't the doctor that relayed this, it was the technician. I'm not sure if she was working for Dr. Finch or Dr. Wester, but this is what the technician told me when I went to go pick him up. And she was the one who told me that we would need to start the hydrolyzed protein diet.
Okay, so did you ever talk to Dr. Finch about the ultrasound results?
Not until after Jack passed.
Okay.
the only one to tell me the findings, or not findings, they didn't want to put anything in stone because the result, the report had not come back. But this is just what the doctor was saying. And that's when she told me about the vitamin B, the Serenia, and the new hydrolyzed protein diet.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions.
Any other board members have questions for the complaint? Thank you. Dr. Finch, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
I have a few comments, and then Dr. Finch may have some. First, with regard to the conversation that the owner just talked about, the technician that relayed the preliminary ultrasound findings was Dr. Finch's technician. It was not the Dr. Lemaster's. And that call was made at Dr. Finch's request that the preliminary results of the ultrasound be conveyed to the owner. With regard to the proposed record-keeping violation for the September 4th visit, I think we've cleared that up in his handwritten notes, which are part of the medical record. Dr. Finch recorded the results of the physical exam and noted that the dog was bright, alert, and responsive, and all exam findings were normal. We acknowledge that with respect to the August 19th visit, the TPR are in the medical record, but the physical exam findings are not. To the extent you're inclined to take any action on that records omission, we request that you find this to be a minor records keeping violation that did not affect the diagnosis or care of the dog, and treat it as an administrative violation under ARS 32-2233B3. Rather than an act of unprofessional conduct. That's what that statute is there for, situations like that. Ultimately, because of the Labor Day holiday, Dr. Finch did not receive the actual final ultrasound reports, or results in the report in this case, until Wednesday, September 9th. And as set forth in his response, he intended to call the owners that night to discuss the findings, but because of an emergency that had come up, he was unable to call them until the following morning. Then when he picked up the file to call the owners the following morning, he saw that the owners were already at the Dobson Ranch Animal Hospital. According to the records from Dobson Ranch, the owners brought Jack in first thing in the morning because vitals were taken at 9:32 a.m. Ultimately, you'll have to decide if Dr. Finch's decision to deal with the emergency on the night of September 9th and put off calling the owner until the following morning is sanctionable conduct. I believe at most it warrants a letter of concern, but again, the preliminary findings, as acknowledged by the owners here today, were conveyed to them, and that's why they came in and changed the dog food and got the vitamin injection. Dr. Finch's conduct in this case certainly does not rise to the level of gross negligence. Under ARS 32-22-32-11, gross negligence is defined as treatment that results in unnecessary suffering or death. For you to conclude that Dr. Finch was grossly negligent in this case, you must have specific evidence that the outcome would have been different had he conveyed the ultrasound results sooner or had he recommended a urinalysis. You have to find that Jack suffered unnecessarily or that his death was the result of Dr. Finch's conduct. And based on what you've heard today, you don't have sufficient evidence to support that finding. What we can all agree on is that on the morning after Dr. Finch received and read the ultrasound reports at 9:30, the owners took their dog to Dobson Ranch where he was electively euthanized. The cause of death was not causally related to anything Dr. Finch did or didn't do. Finally, with regard to communications, the owner indicated that she was upset that we only spoke to him, referring to Dr. Finch, over the phone. Unfortunately, that's not it's uncommon. In fact, it's the norm now during this period of time, which was during the pandemic, and that's not sanctionable conduct for him to delegate communications to his staff. At the end of the day, Dr. Finch admits that his medical records could have and should have been better in this case, but beyond that, there is insufficient evidence to support any other violations. Thank you. Dr. Finch, do you have anything else you wish to add?
No.
Are there any more questions from the board members? Seeing none, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. And Dr. James, you are the lead.
So this case is going to be a difficult one because very little was actually documented in the medical record. So when we get into some of these he said, she said kind of situations, we lean on medical records and there's not much there. I mean, there's documentation of meds and documentation from staff, but from the doctor, there's not a lot of indication of what was said. So was kidney disease said, was it not? I can't tell because nothing is documented. I think there's certainly a lot of concern that we had a dog that had blood results that showed kidney issues, and he's very right. I think it could have been potentially related to the pancreatitis, but ultimately, in my opinion, a urinalysis would have certainly been a next step that I would have done at the point of getting those blood results. And if not then, when this dog continued to decline and continued to not eat despite the pancreatitis improving, I would be questioning what else might be going on, and should I be looking further into how much are the kidneys actually playing a role, either through doing additional blood work or through doing a UA. And yes, some of that might have come after you get the ultrasound results. Like if he had been the one to follow up this case, maybe it would have happened then. But I also go, this dog came in on 8/14, and there was a good, you know, 2 weeks, maybe even long, well, longer than that, 2.5 weeks of care that was being provided that with a dog that was declining. I mean, not eating, not feeling well, continued reports of this, and we didn't recommend those things, which are pretty simple. So I do have concern about that. As far as, you know, the medical records, I can see where the handwritten notes do have some information, but that's, in my opinion, lacking the assessment. And it says the exam was normal, but it's lacking kind of what our thoughts are on what's going on. It's lacking the plan. It's lacking, you know, what was said to the owner and what was communicated and what your next steps would be. So I wouldn't call that a complete exam. I guess it's better than nothing, but I would not. And I think the doctor realizes that the medical records were certainly an opportunity. And it would probably help us in this case know what had been communicated. You know, as far as the committee's findings on the courteous verbal interchange for the ultrasound report, I mean, it sounds like the ultrasound report was, at least preliminary results were provided, but it wasn't through the doctor, at least from what I can tell. I mean, the doctor says he did communicate it, but the owner says I heard it from a technician. I don't see anything in the exam notes that indicate it was communicated. That's where we're going to fall into this. I just don't know because it's not documented. And I do feel like, you know, COVID, we've seen this with quite a few cases, caused some of these communication issues where everything's via phone, nothing was in person. But it doesn't relieve us from really having conversations with owners about what's going on with their dog. And I just feel like in this case, there were multiple opportunities that the staff realized things weren't going well and the doctor should have been the one communicating, in my opinion. So I don't know, before I make a motion, if anyone has any additional comments.
I mean, the questions I have kind of center around, actually, I do have a question. Can I ask one question of the doctor still, or? I know it's a little late. I just, for some reason, clarification.
We moved past that.
I know.
Can we?
It should be a simple one.
As chairman, I can do that?
Yeah, okay.
At my discretion, you may ask.
All right, should be a simple one. So, Dr. Finch, we have the handwritten notes, which I'm assuming you wrote at the time of the exam.
Yeah.
When were the typed up notes done? Was that done after this whole complaint was filed? Was this done the evening? When were the typed up results, or the typed up exam portion completed?
You usually get them done like the next 24 or 48 hours.
Okay, thank you. So That's kind of my question, because we definitely have the handwritten notes, which a lot of vets anymore, since we're on electronic medical records, will just kind of put highlights in there and then type everything in the actual medical report. And I am seeing some mild discrepancies, or at least some more information in the typed up reports than I do in the actual written ones. So I'm kind of looking at that. But I do see on 814, and it says talk to owner, discussed results, and in there it says main findings are elevated renal and liver values. So I mean, it says in there it was discussed. Now maybe it wasn't highlighted enough, maybe it was kind of discussed in passing, saying, hey, we have pancreatitis that could be causing the kidney issues. I mean, kidney issues can cause pancreatitis, so it can be a two-way street there. But I mean, it was addressed on the 14th. The other question or issue I have here is we do see on 817 says not improving, but then we come down to 821 and it says patient seems to be doing well. Seems to be sleepy, more on the meds, not as lethargic as before, but more sleepy. Ate very well yesterday, but not as much today. Owners will be giving dinner soon. Owner said the diarrhea has resolved and patient's taking meds very well. I mean, that's telling me maybe we're responding to medication. So I think we're on the right course there. And then of course we worsen, and then the notes already say if we're worsening, ultrasound is the next step. So I mean, we're following that progression. So I mean, yes, there's some issues here, but I'm seeing that progression. We come to the urinalysis question. I think urinalysis would be helpful, but is that a linchpin in this case? Well, when we go to the consulting doctor, blood work was done, but a urinalysis wasn't performed. If we're hanging this entire case on a urinalysis, one wasn't done at the consult either. What does that mean? I mean, we definitely see this, the worsening kidney values on the blood, so would a urinalysis change anything? I don't know. But what would have told us in the beginning that was different too? So I mean, we have to wonder about that. Yes, sir.
Well, what it seems to me, if you have azotemia at every presentation, if you haven't figured out whether it's renal or pre-renal, I would think that's almost like step one.
Well, yeah, I mean, we call CBC, Kim, urinalysis, a holy trinity of lab testing and medicine for a reason. I mean, urinalysis is very important. But again, I mean, if we're going to be focusing very heavily on that, I mean, is it a problem that the second vet didn't run your analysis?
I mean, that's going to open up a little bit of an issue there.
What's that?
They elected the euthanize.
Well, yeah, exactly. But
so
I mean,
why would you do a UA?
Well, again, we're looking at all that. So I was like, is your analysis that?
Well, I think that when blood results were getting worse, that's what caused them to euthanize. So no, I'm not going to do additional diagnostics if we've decided to euthanize.
Yeah, but I mean, that's
if you were going to treat, then I would have said yes, and your urinalysis would have been important.
And Dr. Finch treated, and the dog seemed to be improving at times, and then it didn't, and then we went to the ultrasound.
It did at times, and it didn't at times, and I mean, the dog continued to have multiple reports of not eating and not doing well. I'm not saying the whole case hinges on the urinalysis, because I don't really know. I mean, I agree with the whole thing, and we can't say that this caused any injurious results. I don't know that the kidneys wouldn't have continued to worsen regardless of doing it anyway or not. I don't know if it was still related to the pancreatitis.
Well, I guess my thing is I think it's an issue that it wasn't done, because I think it would have been very important. I think it was needed in this case, but is it a full negligence, I guess? Or is that a little bit of a much? I mean, I think there's
think
an issue.
Negligence.
But I think negligence is a little heavy, I guess, is kind of my point.
It's hard, though, because normally it's putting on under professionally acceptable procedures, which is part of the communication, too, because it didn't really result in injurious results, and that's where, you know, when you look at malpractice, gross incompetence, or gross negligence, they all kind of say that, and they don't fit in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an issue there. We just got to find the right one, I think. And I think negligence is a little much. Going to the ultrasound, I mean, is 6 days too long to report results? I mean, preliminary stuff was given the same day. It's a holiday weekend. I mean, we require by statute that records be turned over within 10 days. So is 6 days really any kind of violation? I mean, it'd be nice to be a little faster than that, but I think 6 days is a reasonable one. I had cancer at 28 and it took the doctor 3 weeks to tell me my biopsy results. I mean, unfortunately, things take time, especially around a holiday weekend. So, I mean, I don't know if that's a major concern of mine at this point, is the ultrasound. But, you know, other thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean,
I guess I would say 6 days on an ultrasound that was normal on a dog that was doing okay and it was like monitoring, maybe it's not, but when you're talking a dog that isn't getting better and that's the reason you brought them in for the ultrasound, it becomes more important to have that conversation with the owner. And I get that the preliminary results were relayed, but as a doctor, I mean, I think we owe it to our clients to have that conversation so that if they have questions or things that come up, you're there to answer it. And that's what I really feel like the COVID conversations have done, is it's kind of caused some of these things because we're not having as much communication.
Yeah.
And then owners aren't having the opportunity to ask the question and we're not answering it. And so now we didn't communicate it. When, you know, we've seen it in case after case since we started this, but ultimately, I mean, at some point, we can quit blaming COVID. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's the new world, and we got to figure out how to do this. So,
I don't see that as an actual violation personally. And that can be a concern. But I mean, I don't think 6 days is an exorbitant amount of time, in my opinion.
Didn't he say he just got it? Wednesday after the holiday weekend? The full report?
Yeah.
So he couldn't communicate. He could have been there for the Q&A live on the preliminary. But the full report, if he didn't get it till that Wednesday, and emergency came in, so he didn't call him that night, but he tried to call him the next morning, and they're already at the other vet clinic. Mm-hmm. That to me is that takes care of that for me. I don't need to find any fault with that.
Yeah.
And now, if you want to say strictly on the preliminary, you should have done it in person personally rather than have somebody relay it. So there could be the Q&A. And again, I don't know if that's necessarily a violation or a letter of concern level.
Yes, I mean, the relaying the information is the important thing. Who does it? It's not laid out in statute, I don't think. I mean, only a doctor can diagnose, prognose, that kind of stuff, but I mean, relaying information, it's a different ballgame there, so.
So I'd like the input from the professionals on the board on IV fluid. There were two different things that the IC brought up. The urinalysis with specific gravity, which you haven't talked about for us lay people. What this specifically says with specific gravity and the fluids in your SPRIV, there was no fluid treatment. Now, in my personal experience, granted, I'm a layperson, it's anecdotal, but with a couple cats, and at least one dog, when there was a pancreatitis problem, the fluids were one of the first things he did. And he even sends home with us. So, tell me where I'm wrong or not thinking the right way on the fluid part of it.
No, I mean, fluids are always, I'm almost always helpful. I mean, almost in every instance, fluids are not going to be contraindicated. So, the amount of fluids, the type of fluids, that kind of stuff is going to determine the testing is going to determine that. But, I mean, fluids in and of themselves are rarely going to truly hurt. I give subQ fluids all the time, multiple times a day, honestly, because it does really just help to kind of bolster up and just get the body working better. The fact that we didn't do them again, that's a discussion we have as an actual violation of something. The specific gravity of the urinalysis in general, running that is going to let us know functionality of the kidneys. The blood work itself is going to tell us kind of filtration ability, which is functionality, blood urea, nitrogen, creatinine, phosphorus. Is the our kidneys kind of pulling that stuff out, or is the body removing that stuff from circulation? But the urinalysis itself is going to let us know, is that urine concentrated? Because that's going to tell us, are the kidneys actually functioning? It's going to help us determine, is the problem going to be from us eating too much protein, and that's causing the BUN to be high, and because we're having a lot of extra stuff we're processing now. Is it due to the kidneys themselves failing, or is it due to a post-renal issue where the body just can't excrete out the urine, it can't get out the urine reacting, so it's just really getting to the bloodstream. So the urinalysis is looking at that. It's looking at, we've mentioned in here, there was some foaminess to the urine. So look at the amount of protein in there. That can tell us, again, are the kidneys functioning like they're supposed to, because we should not be losing massive amounts of protein. Looking at sugars, all these different things. So the urinalysis is definitely helpful, and for your urinary tract infections too. So I mean, urinalysis is definitely helpful, and it's going to be a kind of critical determinant. Is this a renal, pre-renal, or post-renal kidney disease, kidney failure? So I mean, it's helpful there. It's looking there. I can see the justification of, okay, kidneys were only mildly elevated, and even the STMA was only 1 point above normal. And honestly, does anybody know what to do with STMA results at this point? No, nobody does. So there's definitely some kidney involvement going on. At those values, though, I wouldn't expect clinical signs in most cases. So it does kind of throw a little curve there. Your analysis, I think, could have helped a lot, but I don't honestly know if it would have changed a lot, because BUN and creatinine were not crazy changed. They definitely were changed the second time. But in that first instance, a little bit of elevation of BUN and a little bit of elevation of creatinine doesn't usually cause drastic signs of disease. So that's definitely a confusing finding.
The lab report, though, even the blood results did indicate that you had weight.
Yeah, that's all boilerplate stuff, though.
It is. There's a reason it's boilerplate.
It's there. It is.
You should have done it.
I agree.
It
would have been nice to have that. It would have been helpful. But I mean, it's not like a pathologist looked at these results and said, "Oh, I think you should do your analysis." It was just the machine saying, "Oh, there's an."
No, but when you have that combination of factors, it triggers you to say you should do your analysis.
Right.
Agreed.
I agree.
It would seem to me if you have the azotemia and you don't know where it's from, you would probably go to IV fluids.
Yeah.
And recheck the blood and see if the value is normalized, and or then get a subsequent urinalysis when you had urine produced.
Even if the IV fluids weren't done because the dog was drinking.
Well,
on the first exam, the dog was not eating, but the dog was drinking. I agree. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't do fluids, but at the same time,
I probably wouldn't have done IV fluids.
I wouldn't necessarily have done IV fluids initially, but I also could see with pancreatitis, like if the dog is still not eating, you need to stay hydrated.
Yeah.
That could have been another option. So I don't think the committee was too far off on sending sub-Q or IV. One of the two should have been discussed at some point.
And sub-Q is just very easy to get. I mean, IV involves catheter, hospitalization, monitoring, fluid pumps, all these kinds of things, and it gets expensive, and it's just, I mean, right now with the amount of cases we're seeing dropping off and all that, it can be hard in kennel space. But sub-Q fluids take all of a few minutes to do.
Would it be the same type of Normasol that would be used for pancreatitis as would be used for the sub-Q or renal failure?
Yeah, there's certain IV fluids you can't give sub-Q on the skin, but for the most part, it's all basic fluids. As long as it's a balanced solution, usually that's what
you can treat either.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to give like a dextrose solution sub-Q.
Oh, right.
But yeah, anything else for the most part, Normasol, say you need
sub-Q. Thank you.
All right, so we got a lot of discussion going on.
So I'm
going
to make a motion.
No motion. Thank you.
I'll make a motion in the case 2130 that we find a violation of 32.22.32 number 12 as it relates to 311.5011. Failure to provide courteous verbal interchange in for me, not so much on just the ultrasound report, but on just in general and being able to answer some of these questions, making sure the owner had the information they needed. And then also as part of that, the use of current professional and scientific knowledge with regards to recommending the UA and potentially the fluids if needed at that point in time.
Second.
Motion for a second. Have we got those sufficiently described, the statute and the rule that goes with it? So the motion of floor and second, and any further discussion? Seeing none, let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lowy?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Eisen, aye. The motion carries.
And then I will make a second motion for the medical records violation 3222, 3221, as early as 3115-02-L4 for failure to do an exam on 8/19. I will not include 9/4 because we do have some information in there, although I do think on 9/4 we should have had an assessment and a plan.
And do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion on the floor and a second to find a violation of records. Any further discussion? Let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lowy?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Eisen, aye. The motion carries.
Okay, the board has voted to find violations. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law, and after doing so, will then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. And this concludes the informal interview today. Thank you. Everybody on the phone, thank you.